Joe Berlinger has been known for tackling weighty themes, documentaries, whether that's been The Miscarriage of Justice or The West and Memphis 3 in Paradise Lost Trilogy, The Violent Life of Boston's notorious criminal Kingpin Whitey Bulger, or The Ecological Catastrophe in Ecuador. But this time, he's decided to venture even further into the tragedy on the grander scale, offering us a film on the forgotten genocide, which saw over 1 million Armenians lose their lives. An act which to this day the Turkish government refuses to assume responsibility for. On the line, all the way from Peru, we have Joe Berlinger to talk about Intent to Destroy, which we'll be screening on at the Human Rights Festival. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Now, this film really takes the audience on a journey across what for a lot of people is largely a forgotten history, while simultaneously sort of documenting this Terry George Armenian film, The Promise. What was it that motivated you to do this film?
Yeah, well, you know, I've always been aware of the Armenian genocide, and always been aware that nobody, you know, that it's a horrible crime against humanity that the Turkish government has yet to acknowledge, and that a lot of people don't know about. But I never thought about making a film about it until I knew or discovered that a big Hollywood feature film was going to be made about the subject. And so the reason that's significant is that over the years, anytime Hollywood has tried to make a movie about the Armenian genocide, the Turkish government calls up the U.S. State Department and complains. And our State Department actually has, over the decades, kind of twisted the arm of the Hollywood studios not to make a film about this particular subject because, you know, they want to keep Turkey as an ally. You know, Turkey has a great strategic importance in terms of its geography. You know, if you want to, during the Cold War, for listening posts to listen to the Soviet Union, and now in the Middle East, battle against ISIS, whatever the air force bases that Turkey has, you know, is of strategic importance. But to me, that's morally repugnant that you know, we would kind of aid and assist Turkey in denying a genocide because we want to use their air bases. And so over the years, anytime Hollywood has tried to make a movie about the genocide so that the Armenians could have their quote-unquote Schindler's List, the projects have been shut down. So when I heard this film was being made, which was being made with a lot of Hollywood people like Oscar Isaac and Christian Bale are the stars and Terry George is the director, it was still being made with private money, not Hollywood money. And so I thought it would be an interesting film for me to embed with the making of The Promise, not to do a behind-the-scenes film, but really to kind of, you know, give the film a present tense thread so that I could talk about the genocide, but not just the genocide. To me, what's interesting about the story is the 100 years of denial and how Turkey has intervened in foreign countries to get them to go along with the story that the genocide has not happened, you know?
So one documentary that had a particularly powerful impact on me was Joshua Oppenheim did a film called The Act of Killing, which is about the mass killings in Indonesia during the Suharto movement. Now, part of the power of that film is the way the recreations and the actual way that actually get perpetrators actually to recreate their barbaric acts. In a similar way, there is a sort of recreation in your films in that you actually tie to the Hollywood film in a way to sort of did. Was that important as a device to be able to sort of tie together sort of what is a history, you know, which is 102 years old now?
Well, I think by living in the present tense of a movie maker trying to bring the horrors of genocide to the screen, I thought that would be an interesting way to explore the subject. And also, you know, the reality of the genocide was far more brutal than what a PG movie can allow you to do. So, you know, for example, there's a big scene in The Promise where there's a massacre, but everyone has their clothes on. You know, in real life, people were stripped of their clothes and the bodies were brutalized. And so juxtaposing those real images in the documentary with how it has to be portrayed on screen in a big mainstream movie, I felt was an interesting juxtaposition for people to see.
And a lot of it also had to do with sort of the sort of nationalist fantasies. I mean, the Oppenheimer film was sort of really playing on that that idea of, you know, the Indonesian history, and in a similar way, I mean, there are now sort of secret filmings of that film getting shown in Indonesia. Is there any effort maybe that for your film to get sort of shown at universities, you know, just secretly in Turkey?
Well, I hope this film gets seen, you know, far and wide, and I would hope it wouldn't have to be secretly, but
you know,
the goal would be for this film to be seen by a lot of people too, you know, and it does, you know, I do allow the people who don't believe it was a genocide to have their say in the film, so it is a very balanced film. In my opinion, it was a genocide. But I allow those who say it wasn't to have their say. And so hopefully by having a balanced film like that, perhaps there's some hope that it will be seen in Turkey as well.
So you see, in Turkey, that term genocide, something that they very strongly resist, almost, because, I mean, Orhan Pamuk, the writer, he made pretty innocuous comments to a newspaper and he ended up with his life threatened. And we also, you talk about the journalist Hrant Dink.
Yeah.
Can you tell me why?
No, it's against the law to talk about the Armenian genocide. I mean, you can be jailed in Turkey for calling it a genocide. So, you know, it is not a word that articulated.
So why is it important that it be, you know, defined as a genocide? They just sort of assume it. They try and sort of contextualize it into the war effort, you know, there was a lot of violence during that sort of chaotic time.
Yeah, the Turkish argument is that there was lots of killing, that many people on both sides lost their lives, that it was more of a civil war than a genocide. And really, that goes to the heart of the title of the film, Intent to Destroy. The definition of a genocide, according to the UN Convention, is that there was a purposeful state-sponsored plan to eradicate a people. And so that's the big question. Was there intent on the part of the Ottoman government to allow these deportations and massacres to happen with the intention of wiping out in whole or part, which is part of the definition of genocide, the Armenian minority? And everything I've looked at and, you know, suggesting that it was, in fact, they had the intention of eradicating the population, that you can't just write this off as random acts of violence that happen in wartime. And that's kind of the point of the title of the film is that there was intent to destroy these people.
Yeah, well, I mean, Adolf Hitler himself actually famously sort of justified the extermination of the Jewish people by references to how the Armenian genocide had been forgotten. Would you say that this documentary is about, you know, searching for answers of how, you know, wide-scale destruction can be denied and dismissed?
Well, that's an often misunderstood quote. I mean, Hitler, you know, did not justify the final solution by referencing the Armenian genocide. What actually happened, I mean, it's he did use it, but it's on the eve of the German invasion of Poland in 1939, he gave a speech to his generals in which he exhorted his generals to, you know, not to show any mercy and to be brutal. After all, who today speaks of the Armenians? So he was using the Armenian reference on the eve of an invasion to Poland. Some scholars have, you know, kind of extended that to the final solution, but there's no real evidence.
Also in your film, we witnessed many examples in which the genocide movement, denial movement, has, you know, targeted filmmakers like Etim Nagoyan, academics, yeah. Diplomatics and studios. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, that again, one of the reasons I wanted to embed with a big film being made as a way of telling the story is that to me, it's not just interesting to talk about the genocide. What's more interesting to me is the denial and the denial campaign, which has included pressuring other films not to be made. And as you see in Intent to Destroy, Adam Egoyan, who's Armenian and a well-known Canadian filmmaker, was making a film in 2002 called Ararat. And he was visited during pre-production by some Turkish interests who basically threatened him not to make the movie. They ignored the threats, and he was bombarded with letters complaining about the film and had some issues after the film came out and some death threats. So, you know, it was a cautionary tale for him. Another filmmaker that I profiled did a documentary for PBS, and PBS received, you know, all sorts of complaints and pressure not to show the documentary, and how they treated it is they ended up doing a panel discussion where they had both sides kind of air their views. And for many people, you know, who are in the genocide scholarly community, they find that abhorrent, because giving a voice to those who deny is kind of legitimizing those arguments.
It's like, on a lighter note, I'm not going to be allowed to leave the building unless I don't ask this question. One of my colleagues wants to know about the Metallica documentary, Some Kind of Monster, which you did about, was it 12 years ago?
Yeah, 12 years ago. Time flies.
Yeah, it started. So apparently I've seen this, and it started as a promo, and then it really evolved into a sort of warts and all exploration of the band really wrestling with their personal demons. We were all just wondering how the actual band itself, Metallica, actually, how did they feel about the response to that? How did they respond to this film?
Initially when they first saw it, they didn't know quite what to make about it. Over the years, they have really come to love it. And, you know, I'm still very close with the band. And I think the band will tell you that, you know, the making of the film was so therapeutic for them that actually the process of making that film allowed the band to continue because they said things to each other through the cameras that they might not have said without the cameras there. And so they credit the making of the film with that, with actually saving the band. So they think back very fondly on it. When it first came out, they weren't quite sure what to think. But over the years, as you know, since more people love it than don't, I think they've gotten so much positive feedback about the film over the years that it's been very positive. It just started playing on Netflix too. It was there was some legal battle over the rights that's too boring to go into, but was not available for a while. But in the last year, it's gone up on Netflix, so if people haven't seen it, they can check it out on Netflix.
Oh, excellent. Well, thanks for spending this time with us. That was Joe Billinger. Now, you might remember him from the Paradise Lost trilogy, which is just a sensational series of films, very important films. And he's now got a new film, which is screening at the Human Rights Festival on the Thursday. That's called Intent to Destroy, and you can all go out and get tickets. And yeah, I highly recommend it. So thanks for being on the show, Joe.
Cool. Hey, thanks for